ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, Text 25. So I guess we're just reading the Sanskrit and no repeating. Kvachichasita vatari aneka adivaka bhautikatmi yamanandarsanam pratini varvane kalpo duranta chintaya visanas aste. I kind of jumped that up. Hare Krishna. Is there a meter to that? Is there a meter to that? No? Okay. Kvachit, sometimes. Cha, also. Sitavata adi, such as cold and strong wind. Aneka, various. Adidaivika, created by the demigods. Bhautika, abhibhautika, created by other living beings. Amiyama, amiyama, amiyaman, abhiyamika, created by the body and mind. Darshanam, of conditions of misery. Pratini varane, in the counteracting. Akalpaha, unable. Duranta, very severe. Chintaya, by anxiety. Visanaha, morose. Aste, he remains. Translation. Being unable to protect himself from the threefold miseries of material existence, the conditioned soul becomes very morose and lives a life of lamentation. These threefold miseries are miseries suffered by mental calamity at the hands of the demigods, such as freezing wind and scorching heat, miseries offered by other living entities, and miseries arising from the mind and body themselves. So, purport by Srila Prabhupada. The so-called happy materialistic person is constantly having to endure the threefold miseries of life, called adi-daivika, adi-atmaka, and adi-bhautika. Actually, no one can counteract these threefold miseries. All three may assail one at one time, or one misery may be absent and the other present. Thus, the living entity is full of anxiety, fearing misery from one side or the other. The conditioned soul must be disturbed by at least one of these three miseries. There is no escape. Hare Krishna. Om Agyana Timurandasya Janamjana Shilakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Siddhvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, thank you for letting me speak something today. This verse is describing the material world. There's so many miseries in this material world. We have miseries from the mind, adiatmika, miseries from other living entities, miseries from the demigods, like that. So we see that recently in America, we've had a big shooting. Has anybody heard of what happened in America? A crazy man walked into a school, and this happens often in America, because the people are so unhappy and so full of distress because their standard of living is so artificial. Everybody's worried, you know, the economy has become so bad. Everybody's struggling to pay their bills. Everybody thinks of America as a place where, you know, you go for wealth and happiness, right? But it's really simply suffering. And the stress on the people is shown through the last years. There have been so many horrific shootings where a crazy man, somebody who lost his job, or somebody whose wife has left him, or for whatever reason, goes into a place and just shoots it up and kills people at random. So recently, just last week, one boy, he was only in his 20s, had assault weapons, and he went into a school. And this is very horrific. He went into a school there, and he killed 20 children from the ages of 5 to 7 years old, shooting them multiple times, and also 6 adults. So this is the extreme of suffering caused by other living entities. And these things are going on in the material world. There's always so many distressful conditions caused by material nature, as we read here in the verse. And Prabhupada says that there's no escape. The last sentence, there is no escape. So what is, you know, even in Krishna consciousness, we see, you know, we have lamentation. We have so many stressful things happen in our lives, but we're able to overcome them by the grace of the Lord. Even Arjuna was in stress over what he had to do on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Or Dhruva Maharaj, his brother, was on a hunting expedition in the Himalayas, and he was killed by a yaksha. And Dhruva Maharaj was so angry, and he was lamenting like anything. And so these things are there, even for devotees. But we learn to overcome them through Krishna's grace, through the chanting of the holy names, and through scripture, Bhagavad Gita, soothes our mind. So many verses, so we can become Brahma Bhuta, Prasannatma, Nasochati, Nakankshati, free from lamentation. We become joyful, become free from desire, like that, through Krishna consciousness. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us a great opportunity to cross this ocean of material suffering. Because in Kali Yuga, there's so many bad things, so many faults, you know. Manda sumanda mateo, right? So, quarrels, hypocrisy, people are lazy, misguided, unlucky, all these bad qualities in Kali Yuga. And so Prabhupada has given us the solution, right? The solution and the way to get out of madness. And that's only by the mercy of the spiritual master. Giriraj Maharaj one time was walking here with Prabhupada on the beach in Juhu. Actually, I was just reading this in his book, and I kind of put some notes down because I don't want to leave anything out. And it's really a beautiful beautiful instruction. So Giriraj Maharaj was walking on the beach with Prabhupada, and he said this morning he was feeling, and these are his words, he was feeling miserable, and he was feeling wretched, he said, that morning. So he said, Srila Prabhupada started to speak. And as Prabhupada often did, he would, if you had some issues, Prabhupada would speak like it was speaking personally to you. So Giriraj Maharaj says he felt like that Prabhupada was speaking personally to me. And he said, even though there were many devotees on the morning walk, and he said, Prabhupada quoted a verse, and he said, there are two words, anatta and sanatta. Natta means master, and anatta means without master, and sanatta means with master, Srila Prabhupada said. So in the morning on Juhu Beach, there's many people walking your dogs. So Prabhupada pointed to one very healthy man, and he's very fit and healthy, and he's walking very briskly with his dog, very confidently. So Prabhupada says, just like this dog, he is feeling very confident, because he has a master, and he feels protected, and he feels he's wagging his tail like that because he has a good master. So the dog is happy, and you see, because he knows the master will maintain him and feed him like that. And then Prabhupada pointed to his street dog, and he said, that poor fellow, he has no master, So he's always suffering. And Srila Prabhupada pointed to some stray dogs. And he said, they don't know where they will sleep. They don't know where they will eat. Other dogs bark at them. Children are throwing stones at them. So therefore, they're always suffering. They're always in anxiety like that. So Prabhupada, then he planted his cane very firmly in the sand in Juhu Beach. And he said, although there were many devotees there, Prabhupada looked right into his eyes. And he said, so we should be sanata, protected, not anatta, orphan. We should have our master and be totally devoted to him. Then we can feel confident in his protection and always be happy. And Srila Prabhupada explained some of the words in that verse, like Manurata, the chariot of the mind, that the mind has always taken us here, taken us there, but we have to fix our mind back in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada said that there's no peace with the mind if the mind isn't controlled. So when we have a perfect master, we become happy, we become jubilant, like that. I've got my master and I have no cares, no anxiety. So the idea of life is to become sanata jivatam, living with hope. I've got the master and I will be protected. So with Giriraj Maharaj was saying, without even asking Prabhupada, Prabhupada gave the perfect answer and perfect solution to his mindset at that day. He said, but for years he could not find the verse that Prabhupada was talking about. He said, years and years went by. And then he said, finally, one day he was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 1, verse 206 was the verse Prabhupada was talking about. And that verse is, by serving you constantly, one is freed from all material desires and is completely pacified. When shall I engage as your permanent eternal servant and always feel joyful to have such a fitting master? In the purport, Giriraj Maharaj found some instruction from that day in Juhu Beach. And he said, Prabhupada says in the purport, just as a dog or servant is very satisfied to get a competent, perfect master, or as a child is completely satisfied to possess a competent father, so the living entity is satisfied by completely engaging in the service of the Supreme Lord. He thereby knows that he has a competent master to save him from all kinds of danger. Srila Prabhupada was so perfect and always spoke on the basis of scripture. Because of his tremendous compassion and humility, he could just say the right thing at the right time to deeply touch the heart of his devotees. Whenever we see a dog or whenever we see someone walking their dog on the beach, we can think of this nice story, Giriraj Maharaj. And it's very instructive. So you can read it in Watering the Seed. It's very, that, if you haven't read Watering the Seed, Maharaj's book is so wonderful. It's so full of Shastra and pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, and it's very enlightening. So, you know, Prabhupada was the perfect master, and he gave us the way out of madness. I was speaking at a home program the other day, and I was telling about Srila Prabhupada coming to Chicago. And on the airplane, Prabhupada saw Time magazine. Time magazine is one of the most famous magazines ever published in America. And the headline was Crime, Why, and What to Do. Right? So Prabhupada immediately jumped on that. When he came through the airport, the reporters asked him, you know, Swamiji, why are you here? And do you always receive greetings like this? And Prabhupada said, yes, wherever I go, I'm receiving greeting like this. So Prabhupada immediately started to say, I've seen in your Time magazine, the headlines is Crime, Why, and What to Do. So I have come here to give you the solution, the answer to this problem. And she said, you have the answer to this problem? How to solve crime? And Prabhupada said, yes, of course we have. So he started to basically tell her, you know, that we have to purify our hearts is the way to stop crime. You can't just, by some man-made laws, artificially try to stop crime and violence and so many things. The heart has to become purified. And that the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the way to do that. So Prabhupada kept on this point all the way to that year in 75. We had Prabhupada stayed in an apartment. The first year he came in 74, he stayed in the temple. In 75, we had an apartment for Prabhupada. So the first day, the mayor of Evanston, the temple was in Evanston, and the mayor, that's where Nisringananda Prabhu grew up. And so the mayor of Evanston, Hare Krishna, he never grew up. He's still young at heart. He's a cowherd boy. Anyway, so the mayor, Mayor Vanaman, I think his name was, he came to see Prabhupada. And Prabhupada immediately started, you know, he was interested in to know. Prabhupada said, "You have failed. Your laws have failed. So you have to give us a chance to show that what we're presenting was actually the solution to all your problems." And the mayor had to admit, "Yes, we've failed. Yeah, we failed. So what are you suggesting?" And Prabhupada said, "You give us big buildings." And there was a building that was vacant. And Prabhupada said, "I was in the room. I was in the room for that." And Prabhupada pointed out the window. "The building there is vacant. So many big buildings vacant. You can give us this building, and we fill it up, and we will chant Hare Krishna. We will distribute prasadam, and this way we purify the hearts. Because you could send people to jails, but their hearts are not clean. They're still dirty, and they will come out again and commit crimes. So if we can purify the heart, it's the way to stop crime. Why and what to do?" So the mayor said, "Well, you know," he was like, "well, we can't really give that building because our offices are spread all over the city, and that building we have plans to bring all the offices there so we're all in one spot so we can be more efficient in our work." So Prabhupada said, "Okay, well, there's so many buildings. You can give us one building." And he kept pushing and pushing that button. "You have to give us the building. You know, we can do these things." And so the mayor said, "Well, we'll see what we can do, you know." So that was, they never would surrender, you know. And Prabhupada, and then the next day there was a lieutenant. He was lieutenant of the Chicago Police Department. He was in charge of public relations. And you can read about him in Science of Self-Realization. It's a famous thing. And I was sitting in the room for that also. And, you know, Prabhupada said to Lieutenant Mosley basically the same things. And Lieutenant Mosley was very respectful to Srila Prabhupada. And and he said, Lieutenant Mosley said at the end, he said that he really appreciated what Prabhupada was saying, and that he would talk to the leaders to try to get us some facility to do that. But it never happened. And Prabhupada told him, he said, "We're doing it on a small scale in our temples. We're doing this, what I'm presenting to you, we're doing on a small scale. Because we can see that my disciples formerly were taking LSD and they were dirty and living in the streets and hippies and all these things. And formerly they were like that. And now because of the process of Krishna consciousness, they have become cleaned and bright-faced like that." And the Lieutenant mostly had to agree with that, you know. So there was Prabhupada's mercy on the whole world to give this Krishna consciousness to help purify not only us individually, but also collectively, you know, as a community, as a city, as a nation, as a whole world, you know. And to try to transcend these modes of material nature. It's just a continuous onslaught, you know, in the modes of nature. You have, you know, all the sufferings that are described here. You know, adiatmic, adibhotic, adidaivic. You know, adidaivic, miseries from the demigods. You know, if you grew up in Chicago, you know what miseries from the demigods are. There's a saying in Chicago, if you want to see the weather change, stick around 5 minutes. One time it'll be 80 degrees, and the next thing you know, it'll be 40 degrees. You know, it'll drop like that. I remember as a kid growing up, I used to play ice hockey. Have you ever heard of ice hockey? They don't have ice in India. They do now. Anyway, so ice hockey is you have skates, and you play a game with a stick, and it's very, very rough sport. So I used to play ice hockey. My school was like 10, 12 blocks away, you know. like maybe a half a kilometer or something. So one time it was raining in Chicago. It was around Halloween. I'll never forget it. It was raining really heavy, and all of a sudden, whoom, the temperature dropped to like 20 degrees. And it, Fahrenheit. Which means everything froze. Yeah. I don't know the Celsius. Minus five. So everything froze. The houses, the cars, the trees, the telephone lines. Anything that was outside was completely frozen. You know, from the weight of the ice on the trees, branches would crack, fall on the ground. But for us kids, it was fantastic because we skated to school on the street. We put on our ice skates and we skated all the way to school. So this is Chicago, a perfect realization for adiatmic, you know. And then in the summer sometimes, so hot. Like I've seen it, 100 degrees and humid, like, you know, really just for people in North America too, after experiencing so much cold, when it's 100 degrees, what's that Celsius? Like 42, 43, 44. Normal Bombay temperatures. But in April, you know, really hot. And people just suffer like anything, man. It's like, you know, and then the electricity goes out and there's no air conditioning and the old people are dying and they're finding dead people and they're old people in their apartments. I don't mean to laugh at it, you know. But, and then there's all kinds of things. Oh, earthquakes, right? So this is the material world. You're sitting in your home. You have a nice home in California. The Shringananda is living in California now. He knows about earthquakes. You know, and you're thinking everything's fine, and the next minute, everything's shaking. Your books are falling off, your pictures are falling off the wall, and you're thinking it's the end of the world. Oh my God, the world's ending. And you really don't know. You really don't know during an earthquake if it's going to be the last earthquake. You know, the final one where California just snaps off and falls into the ocean. Like some horror movie, you know. And then hurricanes, where we just had a hurricane recently in New York caused great devastation in New York, and all that were shut down for so many days, no electricity, and again, so that, you know, in the material world, there's so many sufferings, and you can't really get around it. But by being Krishna conscious, and us as devotees, we're so blessed that we should never forget our great fortune. And what Srila Prabhupada has brought to us into the world, you know. How to, you know, all the answers to all the madness of the material world. Because they're trying to, like, you know, it's like amazing to me that they just can't figure it out. That all their laws and all their patchwork has never worked, and it never will, to alleviate the suffering in the world. It's just, you know, they have to surrender to God. They can't even, in their minds, they can't even see that, gee, let me think. Maybe we're suffering because we kill millions of cows? Maybe we're suffering because we kill millions of babies? Maybe we're suffering because we're polluting the earth? We're sucking so much oil out of the earth? And we're using that oil to simply pollute the air, pollute the water, right? We pollute the minds and consciousness of our citizens because we're sending them rushing mad after sense gratification. That is their only goal. So the only hope is that the leaders of society become Krishna conscious. That's the only hope, and Prabhupada said like that. You know, Prabhupada wrote an article in BTG before he came to America. You can't eat nuts and bolts. He's telling people, you know, years and years before he ever came to America, that this system is a failure, you know. And he's saying, and he said in that article also, what the leaders in India fear the most is happening now. That the youth is becoming like the West. They're losing respect for women. They're losing respect for the earth. They're losing respect, you know, for each other, like that, you know. In India, you know, and it's like, And in the end, really, Prabhupada was disgusted with the Indian government. He was just disgusted that they just were giving up Vedic culture and trying to copy the West. When I spent my time with Prabhupada in India in 1976, I mean, all the women in the cities wore saris. Right? This is just 1976. You hardly ever saw one woman that didn't have a sari on. And the men, probably 60-70% of the men, maybe more, wore dhoti, kurta. Now, everybody wears, right? It could be April and May in Mumbai, and they're wearing plastic pants, plastic shirts, right? And they're suffering like anything, right? And they're giving up beautiful cotton, which is cooling, you know? And they're wearing, trying to copy the West. And they're just like, you know, like... I was walking on the beach. You know, I walk every day. I walk on Juhu Beach. You know, to get exercise. I have my iPod. I listen to a couple Prabhupada lectures, and I walk. And so, when I'm in America, and I walk on the beach in America, if I have a stick, I always draw. I write Krishna's name in the sand. I write Krishna, and I'll draw a heart around Krishna's name, and I'll walk. And I'll do that a few times as I'm walking. When I was walking. I was walking on the beach here in Juhu, and I see drawn in the sand the head of Elvis Presley. You know Elvis Presley? They call him the king of rock and roll in America. Dead for years. So here I am in America, I'm walking in the sand, and I come to India, and they're drawing Elvis Presley in the sand. So there's, you know... There's something wrong with this picture, you know what I mean? So actually, you know, that was Prabhupada's idea in the beginning, was to come to America, because the Indians were just so mad after sense gratification. You know, I mean, some Indians, of course, understood Prabhupada's mission and Prabhupada's mindset in spreading Krishna consciousness. But it just couldn't be done from India. And it was all Krishna's plan, obviously. You know, like Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj sent all of you to help me. So Prabhupada came to the West, to America, and we all know how Prabhupada started this movement, and then brought those devotees back to India to show them that what you're striving so hard, you are striving for, my disciples are giving it up, right? Just like Maharaj Yudhisthira. When it was time for Maharaj Yudhisthira to give up his kingdom, what did he do? Prabhupada says it's just like one passes, wastes, and walks away. So Maharaj Yudhisthira left his kingdom just like that. So we were like that. Prabhupada came and we just fell so much in love with him. And we just followed him. We just gave up everything. Many of us came from very wealthy homes. You know, but the chase that Prabhupada was giving us through service to him was so far beyond any material happiness we ever could possibly have. We took up this mission, you know, Prabhupada's very seriously, and gave our young lives, you know, to spread this Krishna consciousness movement, you know. Sringananda, all my godbrothers, I mean, we gave up our young... I mean, personally, I became a devotee when I was 17 years old. And I became a madman for book distribution. Years and years and years and years of book distribution. And so many of my godbrothers... To help print more books and to help build Juhu and to help build Vrindavan and Mayapur. That was, you know, 50% went to these projects in India and 50% of our collections went to book distribution to print more books to the BBT. So that was Prabhupada's idea. So when we came to India, we were trying to tell people, you know, you're going backwards. All this you're striving for in America is just suffering. You know, and it's gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. When I was a kid in Chicago, and Sringananda could probably testify to this, to hear of somebody shooting with a gun was like unheard of. I mean, it just didn't happen like it's what's happening today. Every day there's murders. And President Obama was even, since the shooting was like last Friday, the one I was telling you about, and the kids were all shot. Since then, Obama was saying, how many people have gotten shot in America just in the last 5 days since that horrific shooting? And it was like 10 or 12 people just in the last 5 days that he mentioned across America. So, you know, people are in anxiety. You think you're going to go to America, you're going to find happiness, and I tell you, there is no happiness. The economy is terrible. Everything is terrible. The only happiness found in this world is Krishna consciousness. That is the only happiness, without a doubt. So take to the Krishna consciousness movement very seriously. Try to help Srila Prabhupada spread this movement through his book distribution, which you're all doing a great job during the marathon. But for us back in the day, we had a Christmas marathon. But the whole year was a marathon for us, because we knew that it was Prabhupada's heartbeat, that it was his number one and greatest desire to print books and distribute books. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada said, to print books are, you know, better than having people fight over temples and all of this stuff and all the politics. He said, rip up the marble and print books. And Prabhupada took that. That was his life and soul. His whole mission. I mean, Prabhupada translated, traveled. Look what Srila Prabhupada did. Like George Harrison said, it boggles the mind to think of what Srila Prabhupada did. Traveling the world at such an age, 14 times in 12 years, 5,000 disciples, constantly writing letters, personally taking care of us like we were little babies. And spiritually speaking, we were, right? Meeting dignitaries, translating his books. It's just like unbelievable what Srila Prabhupada did and sacrificed for us, you know? I mean, if it wasn't for Prabhupada, we would have nothing. We would have nothing. Some of us probably sit and we try to think, where would I be? Well, it's like pretty scary to try to think about that, you know? I mean, I was just so frustrated, you know, and I was just a young boy, but I was thinking, if I didn't find what life was about, if I didn't find God, I was just going to join the Marine Corps, the Army in America, and go to Vietnam, because my whole family was Marines, United States Marines. But Prabhupada saved me when I was young. So I would have, who knows, you know, I could have been killed there or worse, you know, had a leg blown off and just been a crazy man, you know. But instead, Prabhupada saved me and I became crazy for Lord Chaitanya's movement. To help spread this movement. So there's a couple minutes, like 2 minutes left, so if somebody wants to ask a question or make a comment, Sringananda, Vrajhari Prabhu, or any Prabhus, please feel free. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Anybody? Yes? Huh? So you were just reading about that. Yeah, it was Prabhupada's order. Yes? Name the devotees from Chicago? You mean that grew up in Chicago? There's two right here. Radhanath Swami, Giriraj Maharaj, Tripurari Maharaj, Suradas, Naikatma, Vyapi, and Swavas Prabhu. I mean, the list goes on and on. There's tons of devotees from Chicago. I don't know why, but that city was blessed. Thank you very much, Prabhus. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. Hare Bo.